worthy of his time. Thank you, God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We bless your holy name, O God. Father, we thank you that you're the God of mercy and grace, God. That in these times that we are living in, it's your grace that's drawing people to come to you. God, we continually humble ourselves before you, God, not just for our needs, oh God, but even for the needs of loved ones that need to know you, Jesus, in our lives. As we lift up your holy name, Lord Jesus, that you are the God of salvation. Jesus, in your holy name lies the salvation of people we love that are, who are still in darkness, oh God. Our confidence is to know that, Lord Jesus, you did not die in vain at that cross. You died for all. And we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit among the minds and hearts of our loved ones who still need to know Jesus in their lives, oh God. Not as a religion, but to have a relationship, oh God. Father, we thank you for the divine visitation of your Spirit, Lord, in every family, in every household, oh God. May we, for us who have made that decision to follow Christ, sense the urgency, not just in our praying, but continually showing the love of God to them. And even outside the confines of this building of your church, oh God, and even people outside our homes, God. Lord, as a nation, we are confronted with many issues, oh God, that we need the light of Jesus to shine brightly upon the hearts of those who lead, even to the most ordinary citizen in every state, in every city. Lord, we look up to you, Lord God, because only revival comes when your Holy Spirit is, Lord, oh God, poured out, Lord God. Only from your hand comes healing grace that can bring healing to America, God. We pray that your righteousness be restored back in our government, that the righteousness of Christ be restored in our schools for the sake of our children and our young people, oh God. That the righteousness of God be in every, Lord, oh God, in every office, in every workplace, oh God, in every family, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And even for your church, God, we ask for revival, oh God, to come upon the hearts of your people, oh God. That, Lord, our hearts will burn for Jesus, that our hearts will burn, would have passion for those who need Christ, who are in darkness, who are lost, oh God. Lord of the harvest, we pray that, Lord, that the fulfillment of your promise, oh God, for the outpouring of your Spirit come upon us as a church, oh God. As a body that, Lord, we will be, Lord God, so ready to be sent forth, oh God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God, that the power of the Spirit of God and the love of God would flow through our lives to those who are hurting, to those who are hopeless, oh God. Father God, we come up against the spirit of hopelessness for people, oh God, who are so hopeless that they take their own lives, God. Lord, that it's being brought forth into focus because we hear of so many well-known people, famous people, oh God, who have taken their own lives, God. Let this be a wake-up call for us as a nation that we need you, God. That it's not money, it's not fame, oh God, it's not worldly fame or success. But having Christ, who is our hope. Having Christ, who is our firm foundation, who is the rock of all ages, oh God. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that, Lord, you are still in the business of saving lives. And we thank you that, Lord, you're going to send us, Lord, through the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for touching everyone gathered in this place. That, God, you're granting us, Lord, that conviction to know that our God is alive forevermore. That Jesus is with us through his Holy Spirit. That we are not alone in our struggles. That, God, in every situation today, as we have declared your greatness, these are opportunities for miracles to happen in our lives, oh God. That what we cannot achieve, what we cannot change in our own ability and strength, only you, God. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, Lord, oh God. Oh, we bless your name, oh God. We thank you for granting us wisdom to do what is right at all times. Lord, oh God, may, Lord, everyone, every life, oh God, be a testimony that Jesus is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Bless our gathering today, oh God. We even pray for those who are sick in their bodies, who are not with us. We pray for those who are discouraged, oh God, that, Lord, you come and touch them, oh God, with your healing power, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And we commit to you this entire worship service, oh God, that the name of our Lord Jesus be exalted forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord has made for us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let's greet one another in the love and the grace of our Lord. Amen. Worship team, as always, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. What a blessed day. Good morning, good morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, good morning. On the second Sunday of June 2018, June 10. Wow, praise God. Praise the Lord. We greet you all. Praise God, in the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus. Please remain standing as we're going to read the scriptures for today's reading is found in Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Let's honor the Lord Jesus. He is the living word. He's the word of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful sight. Good morning, Paul, Mommy Deli. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 145, we're going to read the entire chapter. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Thank you, Lord. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name when? Forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name. Forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. Did you hear that? Yes. Your saints. Who are the saints of God here? We will exalt the Lord today and forevermore. They will tell. Look at this. This is what we're supposed to do. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. The last verse, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his word. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Good morning, Paul. Good morning to every one of you. Hallelujah. You know, so much was said in that verse. We will talk about the goodness of God. We'll talk about the greatness of our God. Amen. You know, when we were singing, I love this family of God, you know, that God has brought us here together to be a part of this body. Amen. And we recognize, you know, that we can never go this far apart from, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ doing the work of the Lord. But today, of course, being one of the things that we can do as a family of God is just, you know, just to bless brothers and sisters in important dates in their lives, events in their lives. And today we're going to honor a sister who celebrated her birthday a few days ago, and we're going to pray for our sister Cora today. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Ali po kayo. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, the Jesus way. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May each day of the year, may you feel Jesus near. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, and many more years to come. Amen. How young are you? 78. Does she look like she's 78? No, she does not. What's her secret? Oil of olay. Praise the Lord. I think it's the joy of the Lord po. Ano, ang Panginoon. Jesus, he's our joy. And you know that when we have the joy of the Lord, you know, iba yung, you know, you're radiant. You know, there's this glow that comes from, you know, Jesus residing in us. So today, we're going to pray for you po, Sister Cora, and that the Lord bless you more with more healthy years. Amen. Praise God. Let's just thank the Lord for our Sister Cora. Lord, thank you, God, for this day. We honor you as our maker and creator. We thank you that, Lord, for the gift of life you have given our sister Cora on her 78th year. We thank you, Lord, O God, that your promise for us when we grow old is that, Lord, you are with us, and that, Lord, you will bring about fruitfulness in our lives. And that's what we're declaring over the life of our sister Cora. That, Father God, on another year you have given her, we thank you, Lord, O God, that you have given her the opportunity to hear the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And her heart is open, Lord God, to the truth that comes from your word. We pray that, Lord, you will continually strengthen, papalakasin mo ang kanyang faith sa iyo, Lord Jesus, sa gift ng Holy Spirit mo upon. The best gift that she will receive today is the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, O God, we also pray that you provide for all of her needs, O God, ang kanyang family, pagpalain mo rin, Panginoon. Bless her family, O God. And that you would use Sister Cora, Lord God, to be a witness to so many that Jesus truly is Lord of all, and that Jesus is alive, and that Jesus has the power, Lord, O God, not just to provide our physical needs, O God, but to bring about, Lord, that salvation that comes from you alone, O God, that you would use Sister Cora, Lord God, to be a blessing to many. And so, Father God, bless her with good health and provide for her needs, O God. Today we thank you for her life, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, We thank God. We believe that God, when we declare the greatness of God, I'm excited because God is proving that He is our faithful God. He's faithful. And, so we are given opportunities to be a blessing to others, to declare about the goodness of God. So let me, before I call on Brother Nelson, I know that he has something to share, about the goodness of the Lord before he shares in the area of giving. Next Sunday is Father's Day. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we're going to honor the dads. Dads, this is your day. This is your time. Amen. June 17. And so Sister Elaine made some invitations for us. So grab one. If you know of someone, invite them. Invite them so they'll be here next Sunday because you know what? You know, God is here because He is in the business of restoration. He's going to restore many men, whether middle-aged, old, or even a young man. Amen? So invite. So, ushers, you have, please raise your hand if you want one, a card, an invitation card. Amen? Brother Well, where are the cards? Amen. Okay, and then 17, so that next Sunday, and then the following Sunday, the last Sunday of June, we're going to observe prayer and fasting, and there will be, for those involved in the ministry, there will be, we're going to meet that Sunday. Amen. And then the month of July, the whole month of July is our anniversary celebration. Amen. We need to get excited because, hello, this is 10 years. And that talks about the faithfulness of God in our lives, in our church life. Kailangan mag-excited tayo sa Panginoon. We should be excited and thankful for His goodness, for watching over us as a church. Amen. And so, as we call on Brother Nelson, before he shares, thank you so much for your support for the work of God. Do you know that your giving always goes a long way because our heart's desire is to reach so many as we can to hear the message of the gospel. Amen. And so, let's welcome Brother Nelson.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. All the time. Amen. I just gonna share a little bit. Just a little bit. If I share the whole thing, it will take forever. Amen. So, I just want to exalt the Lord. The Lord is very good. How many of you waiting for something unto the Lord? Amen. The answer. How many of you waiting for an answer unto the Lord? Yes. Amen. Everyone, I believe, has something to wait upon the Lord. Amen. We've been waiting. Amen. We've been waiting for so many years. It's not easy to wait. You know that? Because we are established and the foundation that we have here when we came here in America is the foundation that God has given us. Amen. The Lord has molded our foundation. You know, it's not easy. There's a lot of difficulties. There's a lot of trials. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of loneliness, in other words. Amen. But you know, we just focus on the Lord. We focus on God through the years that we've been here. Amen. But today is the day. Amen. God fulfill the most important thing that we are waiting for. Amen. And finally, I don't know how we are going to share this thing, but you know, finally, we got our residency here in America. Amen. And then, probably everybody doesn't know it. You know, we've been here for almost 30 years. 30 years without seeing our children in the Philippines. 30 years of waiting, 30 years of struggling, not really struggling because the Lord has blessed us for so many things in here. You know, God has blessed us so much here. You know, if you will look at it There's a lot of people here that who's been here, who've been a citizen of this country, but us, God's hand is upon us. I get blessed with a job. I get blessed with everything. We have given everything to our children. Good education and everything. Even though we haven't seen them for 30 years. Finally, the day has come. The day has come, we're gonna see them. You know, that's why I will not see you guys on Christmas. We're gonna be out of here on Christmas and then New Year, so we're gonna see our children in the Philippines. Amen. See our children, our loved ones, our grandchildren, you know. Now, I'm just sharing this to you, to all of you, to encourage you. To encourage each one. You don't know what we're going through, huh? Hindi halata. You don't know. But, you know, we trust the Lord. We trust the Lord for everything. For everything. So, if you're waiting for something, you know, when I talk to the Lord like this, Lord, don't allow me to get 40 years like Moses. Moses waited in the wilderness for 40 years. He didn't even reach the promised land. Amen? But God has preserved us. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that. Now we can go everywhere. You know, God is good. Amen? Now let me share something about giving. Amen? I just want to encourage you. You know, don't lose hope. You know, in the process, I got depressed for a week. You know? In the process. You know where the enemy will bombard you with all the lies? You know? For 1 week. But the Lord lifted me up. You know? The Lord lifted me up. And the Lord remind me, you have waited for 30 years, you just wait for 1 week. You know? The Lord is good, amen? God is good, God is good. Amen. You know, God is good. Amen. Now, in every season of our life, there is always a recession. Amen? In that period of recession in our life, God is molding us. Amen? Recession, inflation, and economic hard times are part of us already. Those are not new. Amen? Let's read Genesis 26, verse 1. Let's start with verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt." Let me pause there. What is the instruction of the Lord for you? First. That's my question. What is God telling you? Amen? Because God told Isaac, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I tell you. Sojourn in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." God gave a specific instruction to follow in order to prosper during those economic hard times. Amen? The first thing we have to remember is we have to stay faithful to God's command. Let me repeat that. Stay faithful with God's command. Don't allow your circumstances ruin your good Christian habits. Many saints become inconsistent in times of economic pressure. In times of blackness, people hoard their money, amen, and not give what God commanded them. Number two, don't follow the world philosophy. Because of the famine, everyone was leaving to go out of the country. Did the Lord tell you to leave? Or did the Lord tell you to stay? Amen? And number three, sow generously during your hard time. You know, God sees the sacrificial giving in each and every one of us. Amen? So what happened to Isaac? Let's read Genesis 26 verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Look at this. The Lord has blessed him because of his obedience. When the Lord spoke to you, obey. Amen? Obey. Amen? What is the promise of the Lord to you? If the Lord tell you, I will bring healing. Amen? When you receive a word from the Lord, I will bring healing. Hold on the word of God. Hold on the word of God. Amen? Like what I had said earlier, we are all humans. Amen? We are all humans. Sometimes we get low in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we are high. But stay faithful. Amen? For God is faithful to fulfill what He has promised to each and everyone. Amen? He is faithful. God intended for Isaac to conquer the famine and gave him the prosperity principle to emerge victorious from it. Amen? We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have Jesus in our heart. We are victorious. Everything is under control. Amen? Everything is under control, whether it's finances, whether it's healing, whether whatever you are praying for, God will give that to you if you stay faithful. Amen? If you obey what God is telling you, God will provide everything for us. Amen? God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you today. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. And you will see the mystery of the kingdom of God. Amen. You will see how God will move upon the life of each and everyone. And I thank you, Lord, for preserving each one here and preserving our family and all our loved ones. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, Father God, for obedience of your people. Thank you, Lord, Father God, for touching our hearts, even at this moment, Lord, Father God. You are really a great God. You are faithful. You are true to your word, O God. That Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, O God. Even in our low moment, Lord, Father God, you are there, O God. You are there to lift us up, Lord, Father. To encourage us, Lord, Father God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, for everything you have done upon the life of each and every one of us, Lord, Father. And Father, I pray God that whatever you promise in your word, Lord Father God, it will come to pass upon your people, Lord Father, as we continually obey you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, once again, and we give you praise, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise be to God, church. Let's fill this place with rejoicing tonight. Washed by the blood of the Lamb, clothed in your righteousness, and in your favor we stand. We love exalting your name and lifting our holy hand. Praise to
for us to rejoice over the goodness and faithfulness of God. I ask Brother Nelson to stay first because we're going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. How, you know, the Word of God is clearly seen and the truth of God's Word is clearly seen in his life, the life of Sister Nancy, for them as a couple, as a family, about God is good, about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And that He rewards faithfulness. We are so blessed to hear this powerful testimony today. It's a long wait, but the wait is worth it. The Bible says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up their wings as eagles. They will walk and not faint. They shall run and not be weary. And we have seen that in their lives, faithfully serving God throughout this time. But it's the Lord. It's the Lord that has sustained you. Let's offer a prayer of thanksgiving on their behalf. Father God, as a family of God, we are so happy. We are rejoicing. Our hearts are swelling, God, with joy for what you have done in the life of Brother Nelson and Sister Nancy and the whole family, God. We have seen your goodness. We have seen how you have opened your hand and blessed them, Lord God. In every aspect, Lord, above all, the blessing of knowing you and having you in their lives, oh God, that while they waited, that God, you have shown to them that, Lord, it is you by your grace that has sustained them all throughout these years. And you are the God that will bless them as they look forward to that time that they would see their children in December. We commit this plan to you. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that as we commit our ways to you, God, you said that, Lord, our thoughts shall be established, oh God. Whatever their plans, oh God, shall succeed and prosper because you are with them. Amen, we thank you even for the children, oh God, their children that are there that will waiting for that day, oh God. That, Lord, they too would personally experience your goodness in their lives and even their grandchildren, God. And today as a church, as a family of God, we say thank you, Lord. Yes, we exalt your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, that you are the God that has... Bless them indeed, O God, and bless them with this time that finally it came, God. And we thank you, Lord, O God, for just filling their hearts, Lord God, with joy and peace that comes from you, O God. And for those who are here today that has heard this testimony, God, may this be a powerful reminder that, Lord, no matter how long it may take, God, you will do it. You make all things beautiful in your time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What a blessed day. What a blessed day. Hallelujah. Are you waiting for your miracles today? It will come. Continue to believe. Praise God. Glory to God. We're excited now, Pastor Lou. We're now excited to hear the word of God because, hear me. God is faithful. God is faithful. Let us not look into the circumstances. Like what he said, there will be times that at times we're low. Natural ho yun. We all go through that. But it's the power of the Spirit of God that will lift us up and sustain us. Amen. Pastor Lou, we're so ready for the word of God. Come on. Pray. Let's welcome Pastor Lou. Praise the Lord.
Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Is everybody happy? Amen. You better be happy. Amen. I'd like to do something before we begin because God told me to do it, and so we're going to do it. I'd like to have Nelson and his wife come on up. Nancy? You didn't know who Nelson's wife was? She's so happy she forgot who she was. Where's Brother Nelson? Let's get Brother Nelson back here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, this is a good day. As you were speaking, the joy was lifting up was inside of me. And of course, you know, God always speaks to his children. You were speaking of what you went through. And God wanted me to share with you is that this door has now been opened, not only for your family, not only for you to go and visit your family, but your door, the doors have opened now to the nations.
That's right.
This is not, see, you have so much love for him. You both have so much love for him that he now wants to use this. You've waited in your wilderness. You've been in your wilderness until you get to your the promised land. You've been living in the promised land as well, yes, even though you were in the wilderness. So there was abundance and joy.
Right.
You know, you read something here about Isaac. And Isaac, and it says in there that Isaac received in the land of famine, he received a hundredfold.
Yes.
How many times have you heard a hundredfold and blessings? So not only did he get the promise of the hundredfold, which means more than enough, then God on top of that blessed him even more.
Yes. Yes.
So when you obey God, and this is why I'm speaking to you, you continue that same type of obedience. You know, you're going to go, you're going to visit your children, you're going to get close, you're going to bond now with the natural as well as the spiritual.
Yes.
Amen.
And so,
yes.
You know, what you're going to do there is going to be far more than just hugging
yes.
and kissing and I miss you and I love you and I do it. It's going to be far more than that.
Now you're going to plant the seed.
I say all this, get ready for the mission field, brother.
Amen.
Get ready. You've been waiting a long time.
Yes.
And God has blessed you abundantly.
Yes.
So you are now ready.
Yes.
And so, you know, we're going to do something together.
Amen.
On your first one. We're going to go together. On your first mission. Well, this is going to be like a mission trip to you. Well, just know that God loves you and your
Amen.
Family.
Thank you, Lord.
And where's your daughter? Where's your daughter? Where's
Hannah.
Come on up here. I assume you're going over there too in December. This is going to be a gathering of gatherings.
Yes.
I mean, this is going to be beautiful. And I know that God is going to have his hand on you, the three of you. And I just know that you're going there prepared already. God has prepared you for 30 years. I mean, glory to God for what he's going to do there. Don't be surprised about anything. Don't be surprised about anything. Because he's going to do great things through you.
Hallelujah.
Great works. And then he might start with your children. He might start with other family.
Amen.
It does not matter how it starts. You just be ready.
Amen.
Because
Hallelujah.
You go with the full... His heart is already in you. So just know that you know that he's going to be touching so many
Amen.
People through
Amen.
You.
Hallelujah.
So go with the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
Because they're going to be waiting you. All 10,000 of them at the airport. Thank you, mighty God.
Thank you,
Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you so much for what you've done in their
Amen.
Lives, O precious Father. You put your hand on them for a long time, Father. And I thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed on them today.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, yes, all the time. It's what Brother Roel says. God is good. And all the time. All right, I'm even getting it. I'm taking that all over the place, you know. I just want to, before I begin, I just to mention a couple of things. Aida wanted to be here today, but she was called because the pastors were going on. Oh, yeah. She's teaching at the church that we attend. And so I was here, she's there, and we all keep missing each other. Next week, I'm going to do a Father's Day message in Wildomar. I don't even know where that is. It's out there in Yucaipa. Where's that? Close to Murrieta. That's where it is. I knew it was close, but that's where I'm going for the first time. I've done a message, a Father's Day message outside of my own church. So I just want to say that she wanted to be here. I always want her by my side. But she was the one that was supposed to preach today, so I'm a substitute. So I'll do the best I can do. I'll do like she does, right? Anyway, I'm not that. When it goes to show you, two giftings in one house, and we can both do them. So, I mean, we just flow as we go. I don't want you to forget. I'm telling Nelson, I've already prophesied over him that he's going to go on the first mission trip outside of this country with me. With me, he's going to go. With me. And it might be, who knows, it might be the Philippines. I already put that down as a question mark for next year. As I'd love to go back to the Philippines with you. See, but you got to believe you can go.
Amen.
You know, you got the money. God already gave you the money. So it's a matter of you just wanting to go. You already have a work there. And that's what I really want to go. I want to go and be part of that work and others. And we have others that, other works that we have there. So, I mean, it'll give you an exposure to other than just your little homeland, wherever you lived. And we go to preach the gospel. We go to get people healed. We go to help them, like you are already helping them. So we'll take our load and we'll do whatever we can do when we go there. So just know that we'll have a mission trip for next year. Who want to go? Who wants to go? Well, I got one. Well, what about the rest of you? I mean, we're talking about going to back to your own land. Man, you guys don't sound excited. Oh, this is crazy. This is not good. This is not good. I mean, we're not going into a Martian land here. We're going to visit your own patriots. All right. And then we have, of course, we have our Israel trip for next year, and then we have the Amazon. And for those of you who have never been to the Amazon, everybody deserves to go to the Amazon at least once in their life. It's not as scary as people make it. It's the lung of the world, because there's nothing but trees for miles and miles and miles and miles, hundreds of miles. Nothing but trees. But they got a lot of people there that love God. And they serve God there just like we do here. And they just do it a little different. They just eat a whole lot of fish. A lot of fish. Fish for breakfast, fish for lunch, and fish for dinner. It's like a fillet of fish store, you know. So we hope that, again, that some of you can go. This is going to be open to everybody we know. So we're hoping to get at least a nice group of about six, a half a dozen people to go. We don't really want to take more than that to the Amazon. And then you can say, well, I've been to the Amazon, and you saw the anaconda. All right? Okay. Well, this morning, what I'd like to talk to you about is something that everybody has heard something about him in your life as a Christian, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, if you don't use him in your life, in other words, you don't trust in him, you don't trust in that voice that's inside of you, then you're always going to be battling with God. Because God sometimes speaks to you through what? Through his word. He speaks to you through his word. Not sometimes. Every time you open this Bible and you read it, God is talking to you. Okay? Do you get that? God is talking to you every single time you open up that Bible. Every time, no, not open it up. Every time you read the Bible. You can open up the Bible and not read it, and God won't talk to you. But he talks to you through his Bible. But you see, Jesus did something on the cross. And he spoke to his disciples. He trained his disciples of what he called the Comforter or the Helper, as we know him, the Helper or the Comforter. And he said that when he left, the Comforter would come, and that he would send the Comforter, that he had to leave and go to be to heaven with the Father so that the Comforter would come. And when he sent that Comforter, there was a purpose. There was a reason. You see, we have the privilege of having the Holy Spirit in us. The Old Testament people never had the Holy Spirit in them. They had visitations of the Holy Spirit. They had the presence of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit spoke to some of the prophets and some of the leaders. But the Holy Spirit never lived in them. Are you getting me? Okay. The only person from the Old Testament side that was born with the Holy Spirit in him was John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist was still part of the Old Testament until Jesus died. Jesus brought in the New Testament. Okay? He was the last prophet of the old. And he brought in the new. And he was born with the Holy Spirit. And so we know that he's the only one because that's what the Bible tells us. And so he was born with the Holy Spirit within him. So that's a different experience, and we should be living a different lifestyle than the people of the Old Testament. There are people who say, people who are Christians today, oh, wouldn't it have been nice to have had to live in the days of Jesus, you know, 2,000 years ago. How many of you would agree with that? That it would have been great to be there and to experience that. When Jesus being there, right? But the truth is that Jesus is here right now with us. Jesus is right here with us. And I'm going to read some scriptures so that we begin to draw in and begin to see the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life today. If you're not using the Holy Spirit to your benefit and to the benefit of the kingdom, then you're living a defeated life as a Christian. You're living a life half of what God wants for you. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. And when I say the Holy Spirit, He's part of the triune that lives in us. And when the Holy Spirit is Jesus, Jesus is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. See, because you can't separate the three. You cannot separate the three. So when Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit, He's speaking of Himself. He's speaking of all the things that He hears. And we're going to read it in Scripture so you can see it for yourself. If you have your Bibles with you, go to John 14. And we're going to start in verse 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Everybody got it? John 14, 1 through 18. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is training his disciples right from the very beginning. He's training them. He's teaching them. He spent four gospels teaching the disciples, teaching them of what the Holy Spirit represented, what he represented, what God represented, what all the three, what the triune mean to us and what it meant to them as disciples. And so you cannot go on without. That's why he spent so much time teaching them. He needed to give them the empowerment that they needed, which was the Holy Spirit. And they didn't have the Holy Spirit then. When they accepted Jesus Christ, yes, they were empowered. They received the triune, but they were not empowered until later. Are you getting me? Because a lot of people say, well, they received the Holy Spirit. They don't need to be empowered later. Well, if that would have been the case, then Jesus would have told them, you don't need to be empowered later. You already have it. He didn't say that. He said, you need to be empowered where you're going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is that power for? Let's keep reading. If it were not so, I would have told you and to prepare a place for you. In verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. So wherever Jesus is, you're going to be also. Wherever you are, Jesus is going to be there with you. The Holy Spirit is not detached from you. It's not somebody you call on and you wait for 30 days for him to get here. The Holy Spirit already lives in you. The day you accepted Jesus Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't speak in tongues and you never have the empowerment or the evidence of that empowerment by speaking in tongues, then you have the Holy Spirit, you just don't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's all you don't have. You see, you don't speak in tongues. That doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. The empowerment is to give you a power here that we need here. Okay? We need it here. No, we don't need it when we get to heaven. We need it here now. And there are many things that empowerment is for. That empowerment is used to get people saved, to get people healed, to get people delivered, to get set people free from a whole bunch of addictions and problems and all kinds of things. The Holy Spirit is used to set people free and get them out of the bondage of this world. Because this world doesn't want you free. This world wants you all wrapped up in you. And the thing that we have to be wrapped up in is in Him. Not in this world. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay? Verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know, Thomas said, where I am, that I'm sorry. Receive you. I'm going to go back to verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Understand this, brothers and sisters. You can evangelize day and night. But unless that person is being drawn by the Holy Spirit, is being drawn to God, nobody is going to come to God except through Jesus. And God, remember what Jesus said, nobody comes to me unless God brings them. It's going to be the same thing with you. You may waste a lot of time talking to somebody that's not even been called by God yet, just because you wanted to try to push your thing on them, your belief. And sometimes we do that. A lot of us do that. We spend our wheels and time, and you talk, and you never find out what the problem is, why they haven't accepted Christ yet. A lot of people in this world have problems, do they not?
Yes.
Do they have problems?
Yeah.
And you know it, right?
Yes.
But it may not be for you to talk to them yet about it. You can share the love of God. You can share a word of God intermittently if that's what God tells you to do. Remember that some plant the seed, some water, and some reap the harvest. Everybody gets the same reward.
Amen.
Whether you planted the seed, whether you're the one that watered, or you brought in the harvest.
That's right, that's right.
And what did he say to his disciples? You're going to reap where you haven't even planted. So it gets our life sharing the gospel is much easier. When you let it be you know, your life is what you share. What you believe in is what you share with your life. When people see you living out what you believe. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
When people see you, that's what they follow. You say, if you talk about the love of God, but you don't love anybody, forget it. Forget it. They're not going to be drawn to you. You're talking about the love of God, but you're always angry. I mean, wait a minute. You talk about the love of God. What's happening with you? But if you talk about the love of God and you show them the love of God, and you share it with them, you put it to practice with them, then they got something to hold on to. Then they got something they can really say, man, that guy really is living this thing out. I want what he has. And you know something? We live in a very cold world. We live in a world that's going nuts. Am I in disagreement? Any disagreement on that? All you got to do is pick up a newspaper, watch a TV station, anything. This world is going crazy. Is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever see so much lies being spread on TV? You know, there was a time in the newspapers and in TV that if you said anything that was absolutely wrong and not true, that you could get sued? Nobody sues anymore. Maybe once in a while you get some people that sue who have the money and the time to waste on spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to clear their name. But we live in a world where Satan wants to get us as Christians to think like the world. And we cannot do that. We have to think like who thinks? Like Jesus thinks. And every time Jesus talks or thinks or does anything, he does it through who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for you. He's your helper. That's why God sent them to us. And I will give you another helper. The word another, as you break it down in Greek, means the same kind. I will give you another. In other words, I will give you the same kind as me. Are you getting it?
Amen.
Now, when he said that you would be received the Holy Spirit, and another helper, he said, you're going to receive another spiritual helper, and he's going to be just like me. Just like Jesus. And so if you want to know how God is and how Jesus is, and you want to know how he is, you have to read the four Gospels. The first four Gospels. You read that, and you're going to get a picture of Jesus, and it's going to show you what you should look like. Are you hearing me? I'm not condemning anybody. What I'm saying is that's what we need to do to walk it out, to look like, so that we look like that other, that another helper looks like Jesus in us. Amen? And it goes here and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Where did they see him? In Jesus. He is the exact example of his Father. And he goes on to say, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He's the express image of his Father. So the Comforter is the same express images as Jesus. You cannot break up the triune. They are all the same. They all have different functions, but they are all the same Spirit. When they talk about love, it's the same way. When they talk about help, it's the same way. When they talk about compassion, it's the same way, all three. Are you hearing me? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Oh boy. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Yes. Who do we usually talk to when we talk to the Lord? You're talking to that the Holy Spirit that indwells in you. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you revelation. He's the one that's bringing God's word and God's desires to your thoughts and to your heart. He's the one that's bringing it. He's the one that's talking to you. The problem is we override a lot of things the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Brother Nelson was talking about giving this morning. How many times has the Holy Spirit told you to give something to somebody? And it was, maybe it was a small amount of money, maybe it was a very large amount of money. God will never tell you to do something that you can't do. Remember that? So when God tells you, you've got $100 in your pocket, and God says, give that $100 to sister or brother so-and-so, he means that. Because he knows what you have. So you can't go back to God and say, well, Lord, I only got $100, man. Don't you think God knows that? Don't you think God knows that? You see, that's how God tests us sometimes. He tests us to see what, you say you love me? Well, let me see if you really love me. Give the $100 to so-and-so. What? How many times have we said, really, Lord? Can it be 10? See, you might think it's easier to give 10 or $25 or $50 because that's what you have on your heart. But we got to do what's on God's heart. Amen. You see, that's how Isaac got blessed. Because he didn't care that he was in a land in famine. Because God was going to bless him no matter where he was. Right. It didn't make any difference because he obeyed God. Right. He trusted God. Right. You see, when you give that last 100, it's because you trust God. Not because you trust man, not because you trust your employer. Too many people have their trust in pensions and in their employers and in friends and in all kinds of other things. Too many young people are putting their trust in their parents. I mean, how many people have we heard of today? Young men, 35, 40 years old, still living at home with mom and dad. Go, Lord, please help us, Lord. Huh? We got to get those kids out of the house. Make them men or women. We have to change and do what God tells us to do. God clearly, you know, people ask us, what would you do? You know, how would you bring up a son or a daughter in this day? You know, their sons are 25, 30, 40 years old. And I said, why don't you just do what God told you to do? Just do what God told you to do. And if you just follow what God tells you to do, you're going to be just fine. But you know, we seem to think sometimes that we got the answers, not God. We have better answers because we want to love our children. We want to love our grandchildren. We want to do, so we do things that are not God's will. You know, because oh, we love them so much, so what we do is we spoil them, and then we wonder why they become brats. Why they're always asking, Mom, I want a new car. Dad, I want a new this. I want a new that. Because you've been giving it to them for years. How about if they just work for it? Hello? If they just follow what God tells them to do. You know, that's why Jesus said, he says, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, if you're doing God's work, you're going to be doing it just the way he told you to do it, right? Amen? And so, and greater works than these will you do. In other words, you're going to do more of them. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do that the Father may be glorified in his Son. Now, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I don't want you to think that you can just go out there and says, I want a brand new Cadillac and that's what I want. Well, if that new Cadillac is going to drive people to and from church, it's going to go pick up people, going to do that, then God's going to give it to you. You've got an exact purpose for that car. But if all it's going to do is just sit in your garage and you're going to take it out on Saturday just to show everybody that you got a brand new Cadillac, God's not going to give you that. You might be able to get it. You know, how many people have I heard that said, oh, I just was blessed by the Lord. Really? What would he give you? What did he do? Oh, he said, oh, I just got a brand new car. Really? Is it paid off? Right? Because you're talking about a brand new Cadillac. You're talking about payments about $450 a month. Huh? Maybe five. Maybe $500. That's not a blessing. A blessing is to get the car, no payments. That's the blessing. You know why? Because at the end of a year, that new smell in the car, and then you get your first dent on it already, you're still paying that $500 a month payment for the next 3 years on top of that. And you start dreading it. And you start dreading it. God does not bless you with... God will not bless you what's the word I'm looking for? With sorrow. There is no sorrow added to God's blessings. None. So if you're dreading it in what you did in making bad decisions, you know, you weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. You weren't listening to what God has told us to do. And so he says here, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another what? Another helper, or the comforter in some translations. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You see, Jesus didn't separate himself from the Comforter, did he? I will come to you in the form of the Comforter. I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. I will come to you and be with you forever. It doesn't matter how bad things get, brothers and sisters. It does not matter if you're down in the pits or you're in a high mountain area and you're being blessed and you got all your things met and whatever. You know, the Holy Spirit will be there with you. The Holy Spirit is with you right where you are today. If you don't do things the way God tells you to do them, and you hear this little voice says, you did it wrong. That's not the way to do it. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to listen to that voice and say, man, that's right. I did it wrong. I got to change it. I got to correct it. Now you got to do it right then and there and correct it, or you're going to let it slide, and it's going to get worse later. I learned from a good teacher in the Word. He says, never complain about the things that you allow. So if you allow the enemy to filter your brain and say, no, don't do that, don't follow the things of God, then later when you have the problems because you allowed it, guess what? Whose fault is it? Yours. But the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you. He's still going to be there and give you the way to get out of this mess. He's going to stand there with you. Because he is the one that brings all the messages from God. He is the one that brings it all to you. When you are sitting down in a chair in the church and you feel like somebody, something rubbed you, or something touched you, or something, you know, came to your mind where you're hearing the Word right now, and the Holy Spirit says something to you, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's your comforter. That is your helper. That's the only way you can discern things in churches these days. Because the Holy Spirit will bring discernment to you. You might hear something that you've never heard before, and it's not that it's not that it's wrong. It's just that you haven't heard it before in that way. You know, you can. I've shared with this with you in the past. I can be sharing one word, the same word as I'm sharing it right now, and some of you are getting it in a different way. You're hearing it in a different way right now. And you can get together afterward and you can talk about the service. And all of you heard something different. Because God is giving you, or is giving it to you through the Holy Spirit, what you need. What Janet needs may not be the same thing Nelson needs. Everybody has a different need while you're in church. And whatever that need is, the Holy Spirit is giving it to you through the very same word I'm giving to everybody. That's an incredible thing when you think about it. If any one of us tried to do that, we'd fall apart. So me as a teacher or a preacher or whatever it is, as the person that's bringing the word forth, it's a wonderful thing for me to just speak truth. The Spirit of truth. That's what it says there. The Comforter is the Spirit of truth. So if I use God's Word to teach you and to bring forth what God has done in my life to you, to help you, and He knows what you need. And you never have to concern yourself of anything because you're speaking from the Spirit of truth. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great thing that God has gifted us with, that Holy Spirit. You can just speak your heart out and just, man, and just let the Holy Spirit just speak to the people. But it's up to you to receive it. See, because if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you don't pay attention to it, then all you're doing is paying attention just to my words. And that might not be enough because the Holy Spirit needs to get something in you. Hallelujah. Okay. And the Spirit of truth, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. I'm sorry. Where was I here? Oh, here, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because He neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphan, and I will come to you. In John 14, 16 through 18, it says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And will not leave you. Look at it. He just repeated the same thing in another chapter. And it goes to show you that the amount of time that Jesus spent with His disciples, teaching them about the Holy Spirit. It was so important, but even to the last day, they didn't understand. They did not understand. Because they went into that last moment, and they still did not know what was going to happen. And when they received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, then they understood. Then they understood a lot of the teaching, if not all of the teaching, that Jesus had given them. Because they didn't have the faith. I mean, right there, Jesus is teaching them, oh, show us the Father, and then we'll believe. Jesus is teaching them, and they still doubt it. Jesus was teaching them, and they still doubt it. So it's nothing uncommon for us to not believe sometimes what the Holy Spirit is telling us. But if you just listen to that small, still voice, He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to say it loud. He's not going to do it. He might even put it in writing. He might even have you read it right out of the Bible. If you're in a church service sometime and you hear, and the Lord gives you a specific verse and chapter or whatever it is that He gives you, a verse, look it up right away. It's for you. It's for you. It's not for somebody else. I mean, a lot of times, a lot of people say, well, brother so-and-so, well, he should have been here at this service. He needed this stuff. No, you need it. Just the fact that you're thinking that way tells you you need it. Because God speaks to those that are right here, right now. You read the Bible, He's speaking to you. He's not speaking to everyone around you. He's speaking to you when you read the Bible. And He speaks to you loud and clear. It doesn't sound loud, but boy, is it clear. Huh? He is real clear. So the Holy Spirit is a helper that He has given us 24 hours a day. Have you ever been in a situation you didn't know what to do? Yes. Anybody?
Yes.
Huh? You didn't know what to do. Well, you begin to pray. And you said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And He tells you what to do and you don't do it. No, sometimes you do it, yeah. You're supposed to do it. We're supposed to do it. If the Lord tells you to do that, and that's what you get in your spirit, do it. Don't argue with anybody. Don't check with somebody else. What do you think? The Holy Spirit has spoken to you directly. You're the one that asked the question, Lord, what should I do? If He tells you, He's not going to tell somebody else. I mean, I shouldn't say that, because sometimes God will speak through a prophetic voice to you. He will speak through a prophetic to somebody else to get you out, to unlodge you of your stiffness, your stiff neck. So if God tells you to do it, don't argue with Him. Do it. You'll love it. You'll see how He responds. Because He loves when you obey Him. And when you obey Him, there are benefits, there are promises, there are blessings that come with that. Most of all, the greatest blessing is peace. It's peace. You have peace in your life. You have joy in your life. You know, Brother Nelson was sharing that he had, for a week there, he got a little depressed there. He only waited 30 years, and now but you see what the devil will do? You see, hey, you've been waiting 30 years. You've been enjoying yourself. You've been enjoying the fruits of the land. You got everything that anybody else could possibly want, right? And you get worried. I mean, depressed just because you got to wait a week. See how the devil works?
Yeah.
I mean, we are walking in the middle of the greatest miracle, you ever seen in your life, somewhere or in a meeting or somewhere. And immediately, like 5 minutes later, no big deal. No, we're not talking about it anymore. We just walk out of here like nothing happened. I mean, once you walk out that door, it's like, next. It's incredible what the enemy is doing. I think I talked on this not too long ago when we talked about deception and how the enemy is deceiving the body of Christ. Not to even believe what the Word of God is saying. I mean, we got this saying that they want to take the Bibles out of churches. That ain't going to go nowhere. I don't believe that. Here in America, where we pull and we send Christianity all over the world, and there is we're falling. But we're not at the maximum peak where we should be. because we should be walking in the victory of the Spirit of God and Him in us every day of our life. It has nothing to do with our age. Our children, babies, should be taught right from the very beginning who Jesus is in them. There's no difference. I mean, the Spirit of God is in them. We got to teach them about God at a very early age, before the world gets a hold of them. Because the world is going to, it wants to rob them. I mean, the public schools today, the high schools, colleges, oh my God. Colleges, forget about it. You can't even talk about Jesus. I mean, it's sad. It is absolutely sad. And when I hear about schools that are putting back in the school, In God We Trust, I mean, they're probably fighting everything in City Hall to do that. And simple things like that. You see, it's not just the words. It's what it means, what those words mean. And because if you see those words every day, it does something to you.
That's right. Yes.
You remember when I was in school, in high school, actually, even in elementary school, they had a time of quiet time, a prayer time. They called it prayer. But you didn't say prayer out loud. It was internal. You just prayed for a little time, and that was it. You did your Pledge of Allegiance, and then you did that little 1 or 2 minutes of prayer, and that was it. And they've got that kicked out of schools. Now schools are taking it back. Some schools are bringing it back. You see, but it's just like the Holy Spirit. If you kick out the Holy Spirit, if you don't trust the Holy Spirit, if you don't grab a hold of what He has for you, you're letting go of what God wants for your life. The Holy Spirit, you got to remember, do we all have a calling in this life?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Every single child of God has a calling. Every single child has a calling. There is nobody left out. Do we all have the same gifts? No. But there is one gift we all have. Does everybody know what that is? Huh? I'm sorry, kid. It's the love of God. That gift was given to each and every one of us to take to the world. We all have that gift. We just have to put it into practice. We all have it. And so if we wanted to have one calling in our life, is to share the love of God with others. Think about that. Think about that for just a moment, of what you can do with that one gift. Forget all about the other gifts. Because all the other gifts don't mean anything if you don't have this one gift. You know that? That's the way Jesus put it. Well, I was just saying Paul. That's the way he put it. If you don't walk in the gift of love, all the other gifts, the tongues and the prophetic and all that other stuff and the interpretation, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Unless we walk in the gift of love. And the Holy Spirit wants to make sure that you do. How many times have you thought about somebody, some family member or some friend did something wrong to you? And you started thinking all the wrong thoughts. Right? You started thinking all the wrong thoughts, and then the Holy Spirit says, go over there and forgive them or ask for forgiveness. But you fight it. You didn't get up right away and go. You fought it. You fought it and fought it and fought it. I'm not going to go over there. You don't know what they did to me. Well, what did they do to Christ? He didn't hurt anybody. But still, He loved them. What did I say 2 weeks ago here? Who loves us? God loves me. Just the way you are. And we're supposed to love the same way God loves. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Because your flesh wants to get in the middle of things. But if we love the way God loves, it would be easy to do. Because we need to love the way God loves. We cannot afford to love the way we want to love. We have to forgive and give forgiveness. We have to give that forgiveness and receive forgiveness. We have to receive it and give it. Receive it and give it. And walk in a constant walk of love with them. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." Never be afraid of doing what God has called you to do. If other people choose to shun you, if they just choose to say, "Oh, who do you think you are?" You're a child, you're a son and a daughter of God. And if you obey God, it's going to go well with you. If you obey what others say about you, or you give in to what others think about you, you will fall with your thoughts. Are you hearing me? Amen. Never be afraid of doing what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. As I'm speaking to you right now, as I'm giving to you point by point, I'm sure that some of you are already getting things from the Holy Spirit. I know. The Holy Spirit talking to me as I talk to you. It's a constant thing with the Holy Spirit. He's forever looking to make your life better with the Lord. He's forever looking to make your life better, period. And I'm telling you, He is with you. He's right at your side. He's not 20 feet behind you. He's not 20 feet in front of you. He's right there with you. You are, He is. Wherever you are, He is. So if you're discussing something with somebody else that's negative or wrong or just absolutely wrong or against the will of God, guess who's hearing it? It never ceases to amaze me how people can go out to lunch after a service and start talking about other people in the church like God doesn't exist. God is everywhere you are. Wherever you go, you sit down at a table, He's there. You start bad-mouthing the pastor or somebody, or a leader in the church, well, guess what? you're discussing it with God. And let me tell you something. If you do something like that and you don't get convicted right away, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. You should be convicted the moment you do anything that's contrary to the Word of God. And I mean really convicted. Convicted so that you go and you get on your knees and ask for forgiveness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, that's good. I think we have time for one more. John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see you, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world has already been judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth," who is the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth." What I have been saying? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Not just some truth, all truth. "For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come." Whatever He hears. So hears what? From who? From God. Whatever He hears from God, He will let you know. So if God has something specific for you, He's going to let you know. He's going to tell you. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you. You see, this is where we so many Christians have gotten to the point where they think that only coming to church is the only time that they're going to hear from God. This is the only time that you come together as brethren, and still people leave here and said, "Oh, I didn't get nothing today." They got nothing because they weren't listening with their heart. They were listening with their head. Are you hearing me? They're not with the ears of their heart. God speaks to your spirit, not to your flesh. He speaks to your spirit. We need to know, learn how to make sure that our spirit conquers the thoughts of the flesh. The flesh doesn't want you exercising when you need it. The flesh doesn't want you eating the right foods when you're eating, what do they call those things? Rupias? Lumpias? My gosh, these are good. Things are delicious. Oh, man. I could eat 10 at a sitting, you know, just like nothing. But they're not good for you.
Once in a while.
I don't eat them all the time. But there are things that are not good for us. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of those things. And we've got to listen. And He's telling us, don't drink that Coke. Don't drink that Pepsi. See, like Sister Janet here, the first time we went on a mission trip to Mexico, I mean, she ran me ragged about drinking Coke for the whole 4 days. See, when I go on a mission trip, I don't drink water. I should, you know, because I have bottled water. But I drink Coke. I drink Coke whatever I eat, because I choose not to drink the water. But, you know, I've learned to drink the water. I take the water with me.
Bottled water, yes.
Yes. You need water. I need water. But I don't drink any Coke anymore, thank God. No more Coke for me. No Coke, no Pepsi. That's all out. But I found other things to drink. But it says, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Did you just hear what he said? The Holy Spirit will tell you of things to come before they've even happened in your life. That's why it's so important that we listen. We listen to what the Holy Spirit... You know, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in your dreams. He will speak to you in a quiet time in your house, a quiet time at work. You know, He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you in a very small voice, and He says, you know, this is going to be, or this is going to happen. And He speaks to you, but you've got to respond. And He said, yes, I heard that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you see, if God was speaking to you right now in my voice, which He is, you would listen, because you're hearing my voice. It's being spoken out. So you put more attention to those words, right? But yet when He speaks quietly to you, when nobody hears but you, you don't give it the same attention. And that's really where we need to connect, is in the spiritual, not the flesh. God is spirit. And so are you. We are spirit beings that live in the flesh. We are spirit beings that live in the flesh. It changes your whole thinking. It changes your whole desires, your goals. It changes everything. It doesn't mean that we don't want to live a good life. Of course we want to live a good life. So does God. God wants you to live a good life. But He wants you to live it for Him. He doesn't mind blessing you. He doesn't mind you having all kinds of things, so long as those things don't have you. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify who?
Jesus.
He will glorify Jesus. He will glorify Him. Anything you get in that small, still voice, if it's not glorifying God, it's not of God. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
If it's not glorifying God, that which you hear in a small, still voice, it's not of God. Because the enemy knows how to put bad thoughts in your head too. Right? How many have gone with the bad thoughts? Thinking it was good thoughts. When you bought that car, when you bought that car and you didn't tell your wife you were going to buy it, and you show up with the new car at the house, and she told you not to buy it, And then when something goes wrong with the car, what happens? I told you not to buy it, right? I told you. I mean, all it does is bring more and more problems. Glorify me, for he will take what is of mine, what is mine, and declare it to you. I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. Think about it. He's listening to God. God gives it to him, and he, Holy Spirit, gives it to you. Directly from heaven to you. Every time you read the Word of God, God is speaking to you. Directly from heaven to you. The Holy Spirit helps you to discern the Word. He helps you to take these words and make them alive in yourself, in your life, and in the life of your family and your household, where you work, where you are, wherever you are. This is alive in you. Are you listening? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. Let me just close with this. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Who are you? You are a chosen generation. God has chosen you. Are you listening? Yes. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That speaks of his kingdom. That speaks of the children. Do you believe that?
Yes.
These are not just words thrown together by anybody. This is God himself saying, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy... This in itself, this one line, would take about a week class of teaching to understand what he means by chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Especially the royal priesthood, because many of the people in the body of Christ don't consider themselves priests. Hello. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Who was in darkness here? Come on now. You can't lie. That puts you into darkness right away. We were all in darkness before. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Do you consider yourself a person of God?
Yes.
A child of God?
Yes.
A holy child of God?
Yes.
See, you've got to confess this to yourself. You've got to believe this in yourself. You've got to believe it. When he calls you a holy people, a priesthood, a royal priesthood, he means that. This is not just words. God doesn't just put words together. Every word has power. Has power. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We got it good. We really have it good. The question is, do you believe it? I believe it.
Yes.
Pastor believes it. Some of you believe it. The thing is, we all have to believe it. You see, because when you believe that, and when you start thinking that way, of who you are in Christ, and what he has done for you, and what he wants to do through you with the Holy Ghost,
yes,
as your helper, your comforter, what he wants to do through you, when you start thinking that way, as a one body, as one. See, we're just one church here, right? We got a bigger church, but we're really all one in Him. But you got to act as a body here, in unity of the Spirit here, right where you are here. You see, brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that if there are brothers that don't believe that way, the others don't get it. No, it doesn't mean that at all, because the ones that believe it will get it. But you take away the power of the unity of Christ when you have people who don't believe. Are you following me? See, because God wants us to be one of spirit. When you believe in what God says about you and you start walking as one in spirit, I mean, when you say that back wall is going to get torn down without nobody touching you, it'll get torn down with nobody touching it. Are you hearing me? Because God will make sure that whatever you believed and why you believed it and everybody was in unity for it, boom, that wall is coming down. It's coming down. The enemy has no power here unless you give it to him. Are you hearing me? He has no power over your mind, over what you do, unless you allow him to put it into you. And then you agree with it. He has none. Are those thoughts never going to come to you? No, they are going to come to you. The thoughts of you not giving your tithe, or not giving to causes, or not helping other people, or not giving to the poor, or the ones that are in the street, or visiting the nursing home that you guys do, and or giving to the church now that you have in the Philippines, the thoughts are going to come, and they're going to say, no, you don't have to give to that. Don't do anything with that. Huh? Brother Nelson dealt with it. When you have famine times, recession times, that's the least that you want to do, do you, is give. But the truth is, that's when God really wants you to give. Amen. That's when you can break the chain. That's right. That's when you can break it. You can break what the enemy is trying to do in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why God has to get that whole money thing out of you. See, we want to hold on to money like that's a god. And to some of you, money is God. Hmm?
Amen.
How many of you are relying on your retirement plan when you retire? How many of you are relying on Social Security when you retire? Huh? Me too. But I wasn't relying on that. If they had done away with the whole system, God would have given me the money somewhere else.
That's right. That's right. That is the source.
Your source cannot be your retirement plan. Your source cannot be your boss or your company. Your source has to be God. God will do. I mean, I was looking at you when I said that, because I remember you sharing all those great reports of what your company did for you. I mean, you walk in there and you expect that they're not going to give you nothing, and all of a sudden they give you money ahead of time, behind time. I mean, they just...
It came from the Lord.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. God will shake the money loose, I'm telling you. Amen. You don't have to shake nothing loose. All you got to do is obey. Listen to God. Listen to His Spirit. Believe what He is telling you to do.
The Word of God, yes.
He is so good. You know, we talk about prayer, right? We talk about prayer. They have prayer sessions here. But yet not everybody comes. Yeah, it's not important. But you know, it's not just your church. It's every church I've ever gone to. We in the foreign countries, the pastor says, hey, prayer time on Wednesday nights. And I'm there to pray with them. And about 15 people show up out of 1,000 in church. Why? Why does that happen? Because they made something else their God. But I got to tell you, in foreign countries, people show up to church every day of the week. Because they have nothing else but God sometimes. They don't have nothing else. They don't have no TVs. They don't have radios. Hey, let's go to church. That's the only place we can meet with him. That's it. It's just, we're going to come in together. That's just, you know, it's just like Cuba. Just like Cuba. Cuba, you know, sounds like very modern, right? This is modern times. Cuban is 50, 60 years behind us, maybe more. Sad, isn't it? I mean, you go over there and you have a bike that was made to be a motorbike by man. They put an electric motor on it. And they start pedaling it, and they, like we used to have 30, 40, 50 years ago. And that's their transportation today. A modern car there, a new car, it's probably 50 to 60 years old. But if they trust in God, if they believe God, like the church is doing right now, their needs are being met. I'm telling you, in the middle of poverty, in the middle of 50 bucks a month, that's the maximum, but that's what a doctor makes. So everybody else, forget it. If you're not a doctor, you're struggling. But let me tell you something. That body of Christ in Cuba is, I mean, they are prosperous. They don't lay down and die. They get up every day. They believe God every day. And somehow, those needs get met. Because people are starting to get bikes. That's a big deal over there, to have a bike. I mean, they're getting a lot of support from the United States and around the world. But that support only goes so far. But so they have to rely on God every single day. Every single day. See, we have so much abundance, left, right, up, down, south. That's why we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We listen to the money changers. Did anybody get anything here today?
Amen.
Huh?
Thank you, Lord.
Did the Holy Spirit, be honest with yourself, did the Holy Spirit give you something here today for you? Okay? And all of you who said amen, or even if you didn't say amen, you got something from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And what you got to do now is you got to obey it.
Obey, yes.
Obey it. You can come. I'll be back here the first week of July to celebrate with you. That'll be Aida's time. But we'll be here to celebrate with you. I'd love for you to share some testimonies with me. Something that God gave you today, that's through the Holy Spirit, that you did it and you saw the fruit of it. And you received the fruit of it. Share that. You know, not just with me. You just really share it with pastor and the church to encourage the others to do the same thing. That's what we're here for. We get blessed to bless others. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, Heavenly Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. We thank you, dear Lord, that in everything today, O precious God, I've been obedient to your Spirit. I've been obedient to speak that which you have put in my heart, Father.
Thank you, Father God.
I thank you, mighty God, that through you and in you, Father, all things are possible.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, dear gracious Lord, for this house, for the sheep of this house, Almighty God. I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that today, more than any other day, Father, and that what they've heard through the Holy Spirit, something the Holy Spirit told them to do,
yes,
I pray that they will obey it immediately, O precious God. And let that be a testimony unto you, O precious God, of how mighty you are and how much you love your children, O precious Father. And so I thank you, Father, that this day is going to be a different day.
Yes.
That as your people go home today, Father, they will not forget, Father. They will not forget. They will not forget. They will not forget what the Holy Spirit has spoken into their heart. May they write it down instantly, O precious God, so they don't forget it. And I thank you, dear gracious Father, for the great privilege you give me as your speaker to bring this message to your sheep. I thank you for Pastor Monette, the leaders of this house. I thank you for the love that they have shed upon me and Aida in this ministry that you have given us. I thank you for the brethren, Father. These are truly my brothers and sisters. And I've known them for a long time, and I thank you, dear gracious Father, that the relationship is close and tight. They are my brothers and sisters, some of my aunts, some of my grandmothers, some of my sisters and nieces and nephews. And I just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you bless us in this way, Father. That when we leave the things of our own care, our families and our businesses and our own homes and so forth, for the sake of the gospel and for the name of Jesus, we will be rewarded 30, 60, and 100-fold in this lifetime.
Yes, yes,
and so we thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes,
your word tells us, as we read this morning, Father, that ask anything to be done, and I will give it to you. I step into the gap this morning, Father, for the entire church right here. Right here, right here, Father. And I would step into the gap for them today, Father, and ask, Almighty God, that through the Holy Spirit, you would minister to each and every one of them today, Father. And that they will not leave here empty-handed, but they will leave with the power of the Holy Ghost in them. They will leave with a word from you, O precious God, that they are to obey. Every one of them, Father. And I pray, dear gracious Father, that the Holy Spirit will protect them, guide them, give them understanding and discernment, Father, of your Spirit, O precious God. And so I give you praise and glory, Father. And I thank you for this house. I thank you for those who are here now and those who have gone. I thank you for all of them, O precious Father, and those who are yet to come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit flows freely in this house. And so I give you the praise this morning, Father. I give you the glory. And I thank you, Father, that you're ministering to each and every one here right now in their hearts. And I give you all the praise, Father. Thank you, Father, for the great reports that will come. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let me get this out of the way here.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had... Let's wait till everybody is ready. We'll give each one a time for us to prepare ourselves for communion, because we're not, even for those people there at the lobby, please come in and join us for communion right now. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We never take this lightly, because what was shared to us this morning, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, is all because of what Jesus did at that cross. And so our encouragement is that when God has given us this opportunity to partake this communion, we honor Him. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus did and the gift of having the knowing the assurance that we have the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life. As we request the ushers to distribute the elements, it might be something at times that we're very familiar with in doing, but please do not allow being familiar with doing things and not give respect to it. And so let's give the Lord respect as we partake communion today. Amen. Praise God. And while the elements are being distributed, we can take this opportunity to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Wherever you're seated or you're standing, let this be a moment that we can say thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. Praise God. One of the privileges of being born again is now we are connected to God. We can talk to Him and we can hear from Him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as the elements are being distributed among the rest of the family of God this afternoon, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you, Father God, for sending Jesus. It's a blessing that we should never take for granted, Lord God. And we thank you for Sundays that we can partake communion and to remember the love that you have for us, Father God. You did not wait for us to be good people or to make our acts straight, to straighten up. Because you know that we cannot save ourselves and how much we need your salvation, because being reconciled with you, Father God, through our faith in your Son gives us peace that we can never find from this world. It's a peace that no one else can give to us, but only your Holy Spirit alone. Father, today you allowed the Word of God to be ministered to us, to be reminded that there's a gift that you have given us and still giving, and that is your Holy Spirit. And it all starts with our faith in your Son, Jesus. So this afternoon, as we partake this communion elements, oh God, may we remember the perfect sacrifice that Jesus did once and for all, and that how much you love us, oh God, and we would like to say thank you for what you have done, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the bread, which symbolizes the broken body of our Lord Jesus. He suffered on that cross the punishment that should have been ours for our sin. He took it upon himself, O God. And Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for your body that you willingly gave up your body. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for continually revealing Jesus to all of us and for what he has done. And we don't want to take this lightly, Lord God, and we just say thank you, God, for this time that you've given us. As we partake the bread, let's remember our Lord Jesus today.
Brother Roel, can I come? Can you come and pray for the cup?
Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this cup that we are about to partake, Lord God. This is the new covenant, O God, that you have promised, O God, the new and living way, O God, that we can come to you directly, O God, because of the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, that you have cleansed us already from all of our sins, all our unrighteousness, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. We give you praise, O God. We give you glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord, you are reminding us also that one day, O God, we will be with you, dining with you, O God, partaking with you, Lord God, forever and ever. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Let us partake.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to take second offering today. You know, it's always the Word of God that guides us in everything that we do here in the house of God. Always led by the Word of God and led by His Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us we need to share good things to those who minister the Word of God to us. And over all these years, and we're so thankful for the partnership that has been established with Pastor Lou and Pastor Yida. Amen. And we would like to bless him and the ministry that God has entrusted to him. Amen. And so let's thank the Lord for the opportunity as we take our second offering, as we do it as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we are so blessed, Lord God, for the opportunity you grant us as a church to hear your word. We thank you for your servant, Pastor Lou, Lord God, as he has shared your word to us this afternoon. And Lord, in obedience to your word, we would like to honor, to obey you what your word tells us, oh God, to share with those who teach us the word of God, good things. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless this second offering, oh God, that, Lord, you would just bless Pastor Lou and even Pastor Yida, the work that you've entrusted to them, that many more would be rich with the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And Lord, even as opportunities, there would be open doors of opportunity that the word of God be shared to many, even to the body of Christ. Continually anoint them, bless them with good health, Father God. Bless their family, O God, and even the church where they serve. So, Father God, bless everyone as we give us unto you, Lord God. Because, Lord, we would like to honor you, Lord God, as we honor your servant today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. As we call on the ushers. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, look at Dylan. Yes. Teach them while they're young. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We have this young usher, and that little guy over there is also one of the greeters of a church now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? We have children growing up in church. Amen. So let me take this opportunity also before we are dismissed in prayer. We need to prepare for our celebration for the month of July. So I believe some of you would be asked if you would be willing to be a part of a singing group or whatever way we could honor the Lord as we celebrate our 10-year anniversary as a church. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise up and let's just thank the Lord for this day, for this afternoon. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's something about knowing in our hearts when we made that choice and decision to accept Christ in our lives that, Lord, it's the best decision that we have made. We can never regret, Lord God, because, Lord, to have you in our lives, to be led and guided by your Spirit is something that is so valuable in our lives today. Heavenly Father, we ask, oh God, that, Lord, what was shared today, the Word of God that was deposited in the hearts of your people, Let this multiply. Let this grow. We ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, by your grace, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, as you speak to our hearts, you would grant us the grace to obey. Father God, I ask, Lord God, that you stretch forth your hand upon this congregation. I pray that the light of Jesus shine brightly through each one's life and even corporately as a church. We pray that, God, you keep us together. Keep us united in the spirit of love. And, Lord, oh God, the understanding that, God, you're going to use us, Lord, to reach many more who need Jesus in their lives. So, Father God, we thank you for this time, oh God. Blessing everyone, Lord God, your congregation today in spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord together as we call on the rest of the praise and worship team. Glory to God. God bless you all. Praise the Lord.